Bhagavati Vasudevaya. We continue to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the fifth canto, eighth chapter, entitled The Character of Bharat Maharaj, text number 8. Tasyaha vena kunaka ucheritasmin kritani jabe manasya harras tatpushana palana lalana prinanunu janenatmani yamasaha jama purusa paricharyavada paricharyadaya ikaika sakati payena harganena viju jamana Kila sarva evo davasam. Tasya. Gradually. No, sorry, this is the translation. And gradually, Maharaj Bharat became very affectionate toward the deer. He began to raise it and maintain it by giving it grass. He was always careful to protect it from the attacks of tigers and other animals. When it itched, he petted it, and in this way he always tried to keep it in a comfortable condition. He sometimes kissed it out of love. Being attached to raising the deer, Maharaj Bharat forgot the rules and regulations for the advancement of spiritual life, and he gradually forgot to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After a few days, he forgot everything about his spiritual advancement. Purport. From this we can understand how we have to be very cautious in executing our spiritual duties by observing the rules and regulations and regularly chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If we neglect doing this, we will eventually fall down. We must rise early in the morning, bathe, attend Mangal Arati, worship the deities, chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, study the Vedic literatures, and follow all the rules prescribed by the acharyas and the spiritual master. If we deviate from this process, we may fall down, even though we may be a very highly advanced. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.5, yagya dana tapa karma nachayam karyam evatat yagya dana tapascheva pavanani manisinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity and penance are not to be given up, but should be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great soul. Even if one is in the renounced order, he should never give up the regulative principles. He should worship the deity and give his time and life to the service of Krishna. He should also continue following the rules and regulations of austerity and penance. These things cannot be given up. One should not think oneself very advanced simply because one has accepted the sannyas order. The activities of Bharat Maharaj should be carefully studied for one's spiritual advancement. So just as Srila Prabhupada gave that classical analogy of iron which is kept in the fire, which becomes heated like fire and eventually acts like fire. But when that same iron is taken out of the fire, it will cool down. This is the position of the living being. And therefore, we should never think that we have attained a state of Krishna consciousness which has become our nature. Although Krishna consciousness may come forth naturally from our heart, we should simply remain to depend on Krishna. And we should remain dependent on his holy name and on all other regulative principles of spiritual life. And to the best of our ability, we should be diligent about taking shelter. This is the process. And especially in this age of Kali, we must be very, very careful to not ever for a moment be negligent in taking shelter of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And even while taking shelter of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we must not just merely chant our rounds mechanically. We must never at any point think that we have become the master of the holy name. And now I have become experienced in this chanting and very expert in this chanting. We should see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is described, never took it that he was the master of the holy name. Rather, he always stayed in that state of mind that he was the servant of the holy name. So in the spirit of chanting the holy name in a service attitude, that is the right mentality for successfully chanting the holy name, depending on the holy name. It is described that Haridas Thakur, although severely tested, never fell down. Haridas was chanting in a cave. And in this cave, there was an awkward smell. That smell was very intense. It was the smell of a venomous serpent. Many people wanted to come and visit Haridas. But when they smelt that serpent, they said, there is something wrong in this cave here. There is a smell here of poison. There must be a snake somewhere in this cave. Better you move somewhere else. And Haridas said, it is all right. But people would repeatedly, again and again, request him to move. And one day Haridas said, well, if you all desire that I'll move, I will move. And just then, this huge serpent came somewhere out of a crack in the back of the cave. And it was a very large serpent, red, blue and yellow, it is said, with a jewel on its hood. And this huge serpent just moved out of the cave. The Supreme Lord from within had dictated that serpent to move elsewhere, rather than Haridas. So it is said that Haridas was tested on several occasions, and ultimately Maya came in a personal form. It said it was on a full moon night. Haridas had a beautiful view from his cave over the fine river sand on the bank of the Ganges. And the moonlight was beautifying that river sand, which was even slightly glittering in the light of the night. And just then, there was a pleasant cool breeze also. Then, this beautiful female form appeared. Her ankle bells melodiously tinkling, her cloth slightly blowing in the breeze, revealing all the forms of her body very clearly to Haridas. And then she came to his cave and said, you are such a wonderful young man. You are the most handsome person I've ever met. I am totally attracted to you. You please accept me and have union with me. So many a brahmachari would have considered that a bit too much, a test too great to pass, a test beyond human capability, right? And would have said, what can I do? What can I do? Many a brahmachari at this point would consider that now I'm giving up. I'm defeated. And it seemed that Haridas was also defeated because he said, all right, I agree. But first let me finish my rounds. And of course, Haridas Thakur was every day chanting 300,000 names of the Lord, which meant he never finished. So he was chanting all night, and she said, are you finished yet? He said, almost, almost. And he was chanting and chanting and chanting. And at the end of the night, there was no time left. But she sat there listening and listening. And at the end of the night, he said, I'm very sorry, but I could not finish my quota before the end of the night. But tomorrow, definitely, I will fulfill your desires. I will fulfill all your desires. And again, the next night, he could not finish the rounds. He said, but on the third day, he said, no, I will do it tonight. I will do it. I will certainly finish my rounds and will fulfill all your desires. Then it is said that at the end of that night, Maya Devi personified, fell at his feet and said that I am Maya Devi personified who came to test you. But I could break the determination of many great personalities in the past. But I could not find any weakness in you. So Haridas Thakur is the emblem of one who was successful, right? Who was tested by Maya and who somehow or other was able to overcome Maya. And therefore, in this regard of speaking fall down, Haridas, on the one hand, the example of Bharat Maharaj is there to warn us, right? Do not, under any condition, neglect your spiritual practices. But then, Haridas is there as one who faithfully continued his spiritual practices, in particularly the chanting of the holy name, and was actually even able to resist the personal attack of Maya. And not only that, he was able on the third night to convert the mind of Maya and make her into a devotee as well. And she gave up her attempts and she joined him in the chanting. And he left. He did not fall for that either, that he stayed and then chanted together with Maya. No, he left immediately. So, in this way, Haridas was a perfect devotee, by this constant chanting of the holy name. So in the purports to this description of this pastime, Srila Prabhupada described that Haridas was daily chanting 300,000 names for the pleasure of the Lord. So that is a very significant point, because we can investigate our motivation in chanting. And what are we really chanting for? Many of us may be chanting out of fear. Because if I don't chant, right, then what will happen? Karma can happen anytime. Anytime. Something can happen. Anytime. So if I don't chant, I may not get the blessings. But if I chant, I will get the blessings and I will be protected. So I'm chanting for protection. I'm chanting for blessings. Please bless. Please give me blessings. Whatever you do, Swamiji, please give me blessings. So we are chanting for blessings. Jai Jagadisha Hare. We're chanting for blessings. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Chanting for the blessings. Chanting to relieve us from dangers in this world and to bring us material happiness. So how many of us are chanting for those reasons? Others may say, no, I'm chanting for spiritual reasons. I want to go back to the spiritual world. But even that is ultimately self-centered. Others are chanting because they say that, I heard that if you chant, that you get a spiritual experience. I wouldn't mind having one. Right? I wouldn't mind seeing what it's like. Right? So here, curiosity is the motivation. But all these kind of motivations are still atmendriya. Atmendriya, concerned with our own personal satisfaction. Atmendriya pritivanchi tarabolikam. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that as long as we are atmendriya, as long as we are concerned with ourselves and our own interest, under the influence of self-interest, still, then we are under the influence of lust. Krishnendriya pritivancha dara premanam. We must come to Krishnendriya, to the point of really desiring to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Haridas Thakur was at this platform, and therefore he was chanting 300,000 names a day for the pleasure of Krishna. So, if we just for a moment imagine what it will be like to chant for the pleasure of Krishna, well, then obviously the chanting must be done very nicely, because then our mantra is an offering to Krishna. If we are offering the mantra to Krishna, then it must be perfect. Then we are offering it, pronouncing it clearly, attentively, nicely, not just and swallowing of syllables. We will naturally offer quality if we are chanting for the pleasure of Krishna. So that is the advanced stage of chanting the holy name of the Lord. If we chant for the pleasure of Krishna, then we cannot offer it while committing offenses. Then it must be offered purely. So then it must be offered in a proper state of mind. Then we must carefully avoid the 10 offenses. We must avoid criticizing the Vaishnavas. We must always abide by the order of our spiritual master. We must give up all material attachments. We can never commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name, to name some of the main ones. These injunctions are all there. In other words, in order to chant the holy name of the Lord, we must chant the holy name in a proper state of mind. The 10 offenses in the matter of chanting the holy name, which are to be avoided and which are mentioned in the Padma Purana, they basically prescribe a particular type of behavior to us. They basically stress that we should avoid finding fault in devotees. So we must develop this mood of becoming adosha darshi, unable to see any fault. Even when fault is there, a devotee doesn't see it. A devotee sees the good qualities in any Vaishnava. So we must practice this. Just once I read this little management book, which was called A 1 Minute Manager. And as far as I am concerned, most of the book was just rubbish. Okay? But there was one point which I found interesting. And that point was that this manager instead of catching people doing something wrong, which is what most managers do, right? Sorry, you're doing it wrong, right? How many times I have to tell you, this and this is the standard. So please try and do better, right? So there are different ways a manager can do it. He can chastise you, look what you're doing, you fool. How can you behave like this? Or he can do it with love and very humble. Say, excuse me, please, but if you don't mind, flower, 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 I have to tell you something. Yes, it is my duty. So please don't feel any strain, but you cannot sit like that. It's against the nectar of devotion. What can I do? Yeah. So this is the type of management where we are finding fault, right, in the course of our duty, and point it out, right, not in a mood to cause anyone embarrassment or to make anyone feel bad, but everyone sometimes forgets a rule. Yeah? It's very, very difficult to follow all the rules all the time. That means total surrender. The definition of total surrender is to follow all the rules all the time. Are yaar. Sometimes everyone has a moment just, what can we do? What can we do? But in this book, that particular manager, he was not trying to catch someone in doing something wrong. He was trying to catch someone in doing something right. It's not easy. It's not easy to find. You have to really look very careful to find someone who is really doing something right. Yeah? So, but eventually he found something. And then he would praise a person. So when I read that in the book, I thought, that is exactly the Vaishnav mood, right? That's nice. He actually took that from us, right? And actually, maybe he read Prabhupada's books, so who knows. But whatever, or he understood a spiritual principle. A principle where we must catch someone doing something right. Then we say, oh, he's such a nice person. Such a nice devotee. He's doing all these things. He's doing this service so nicely. Right? In this way, we can develop this mood of adosha darsi and get over the tendency to see the wrong thing. We just stop looking at it. So this attitude is favorable for chanting the holy name. So like that, we must not only perform our practices of chanting, we must protect our practices of chanting, okay, by avoiding offenses. Because offenses, generally speaking, devotees are a little careful about offenses and they will not commit the offenses in the most gross form. Some do, and will get into serious trouble. But mostly devotees try to avoid offenses, but still a little slip between the cup and the lip. Just as when I was a child, my mother used to read fairy tales to us. And there was this one story which I liked. It was about two sisters, right? And it is said, one of these sisters, when she would open her mouth, there would be roses coming out of her mouth. And the other one, whenever she opened her mouth, there would be frogs jumping out of her mouth. Yeah? So, I always remember this story, and I've been thinking that in my case, you know, even if I try for roses, sometimes I get a little rose here and there, and then in the midst of it all, inadvertently, this frog jumps out. Right? And once it has jumped out, very difficult to put it back. Yeah? Difficult to catch. In other words, we make some remark and we think, I shouldn't have said that. But too late. It's bouncing around the room, right? In all its ugliness, right? In all its ugliness, it's bouncing around the room for everyone to see. And you're like, oh my God, that was terrible, right? So I think everyone can relate to what I'm saying. The frog that jumps out of the mouth sometimes. And we think, I should not have said it. So it is very difficult. We make these mistakes again and again. Therefore, it is not possible. It is not possible to really completely avoid this first offense against the Holy Name, to give up blaspheming devotees or give up criticizing devotees just by determination. I will not do it again. From this day on, I will only glorify. It will not work. It is not possible. Because spiritual life, it is not based on just determination. If we think that just on the strength of determination, we will do it in spiritual life, then we are in illusion. Then we're overestimating our own power. Then we're overestimating the power of our determination. Then our mood is that I will do it. I will do it. Yes. Will you follow the four regulative principles?
Yes, yes. Yes. I will do it. Yes, definitely I will.
You will not.
No, I will. I will definitely.
You will not.
No, I will. I will. I shall do it.
You will not. You shall not. Right? You cannot. Because no one on his own strength or power can overcome the material energy. It is not possible. It is illusion. This is the trap where we think on spiritual life, I can do it. I will do it on my strength. I must do it. And then we fail and we cannot admit the failure. And we hide it deeply and deep in our heart. We hide the shame. We hide the shame. Right? And we think, we feel very guilty and we think, how is it that I'm failing? I should not be failing. How can I fail? We are not able on the strength of determination to practice spiritual life. Determination is important, but it is not sufficient. Devi yesa gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyanti mayam mitam taranti te. It is by taking shelter of Krishna. It is with Krishna's help only that we can overcome the material energy. There's a story, a famous story in the Mahabharata, we will remember. It is about Karna, who is learning the art of wielding weapons from Parashuram. And we know that Parashuram didn't like Kshatriyas so much. In fact, he killed them 21 times. And therefore Karna had told to Parashuram that he was the son of a Brahmana, upon being asked. Very nice. He served Parasaram to full satisfaction. One day, the spiritual master was resting with his head on the leg of the disciple. Indra, who was afraid that Karna was getting too powerful, took the form of a horrible insect. A horrible insect with a terrible, terrible, practically a drill on its nose. And Indra, in that form, sat down on the leg of Karna, exactly that leg where the head of his spiritual master was, and started systematically drill a hole in his leg. And blood started to gush out, and there was excruciating pain. And somehow or other, Karna bit his teeth.
tolerated it. Just tolerated it. Tolerated it on the strength of determination of a kshatriya.
So it is very interesting that when Parasuram awoke and saw the blood, he looked, he said, "What is this? How did this happen?" Then Karna explained, "Some insect came, stung me, it was very painful, but somehow or other I tolerated, I didn't want you to wake up, I didn't want to disturb my spiritual master." And Parasuram looked in great suspicion. He smelled a kshatriya. He could understand it. You are not a brahmana. You are a kshatriya. And I curse you. You have cheated me. You have taken all these arts in fighting with the celestial weapons from me. But I curse you that at the time you need it the most, you will forget it all. Remember the story? So you're back, right? So it's very interesting to see actually the difference between the tolerance level of the kshatriya and the tolerance level of the brahmana. A brahmana is described as being tolerant. One of the brahminical qualifications is titiksa, tolerance. Right? And here it is described that the tolerance of a kshatriya is greater than the tolerance of a brahmana. This is very interesting. So for a moment, let's focus on this tolerance of the brahmana and the tolerance of the kshatriya. So the tolerance of the kshatriya is based on determination.
I will tolerate it, shall tolerate it, whatever may come. No, nothing in this world can break down my determination. But there is one thing that can break down that determination. There is one thing that can break down the hardest granite in this world. There is one thing that can destroy the hardest stone that exists and the hardest determination of the toughest person in the world, the most determined devotee, the one who is super fixed up. And that is time. Time can wear down any determination. But time, the weight of that decision, becomes heavier and heavier and heavier, and gradually one becomes tired with time until no more strength. So many devotees go through this. The most fixed up, the most enthusiastic, the most strong devotees, the one that were always in front. Now, what happened to them? How did they become so spiritually exhausted, so spiritually drained, so lost of strength? What happened? Time, I am a destroyer of world. Kalosmi loka kshaya krit, Krishna says. So everything breaks down by time. But the strength of the brahmana, the tolerance of the brahmana is of a different nature. Because the tolerance of the brahmana is based on knowledge. He knows that there is prayas and srayas. He knows that there is immediate pleasure and long-term pleasure. And he knows, itavats janma sa phalyam dehinam iha dehisu pranir atta diya vacham sreyam acharanam sada. He knows that if you want to make this life safalya, successful, then
we must somehow or other, always act with all our energy, with all our intelligence, with all our possessions, with all our words for the long-term benefit. So a brahmana, he knows, and he's cultivating knowledge, more and more knowledge. And therefore his knowledge is growing, and therefore his tolerance is being nourished. And with time his tolerance is growing deeper and deeper. And therefore a devotee, his determination can only be based on being absorbed in hearing transcendental knowledge. Therefore this sravanam kirtanam is essential. If there is no sravanam, right, it will just hollow us out. We need transcendental knowledge. Always refresh it again and again to strengthen our determination, so that our determination comes from deep understanding, not just from
"I will do it, I must do it, I will never forgive myself if I not do it, I will follow the four regulative principles."
You cannot.
"Oh yes, I can." "No, you cannot." "Yes, I can."
For how long? Time will bring you to your knees. It's so easy when you're young. Wait until you get older and your energy is waning. When in the morning it gets difficult to get up, when you are asthmatic, it's hard to chant Hare Krishna when every breath rattles in your throat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 16 long rounds. Gradually, it's not so easy. It's not so easy when we are weak and in pain and so on. But only if there is deep, deep knowledge within. So we must have this knowledge by delving deep into the minds of the scriptures and collect the jewels. And these jewels, we must hold them in high esteem, not just collect them. Says, "Yes, another jewel. Great, I get so many jewels. Yes, more I have." No, each jewel is like a treasure and must be kept very nicely. Every instruction that we find from scriptures, we must hold it in as our greatest treasure and live by it and remember it. Then realizations will come. And these realizations will carry us through the onslaughts of time. When Bhishma Dev is lying on the bed of arrows and Yudhisthira Maharaj comes to express his distress about the fact that 640 million people were killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma Dev says, "It's simply the inevitable influence of time." In other words, in the course of time, we are going to encounter all these things. Last night, several people came to me after the program and spoke about the death of a dear one. The death of a dear one. And one person was his mother, another person was a young niece, right? 8 years old. It is sad to see a child die like that. Yes. But all these things we will see. We will see. It is the inevitable influence of time. We will see. I remember it well when my parents died. First my father died and I was standing in the middle of my sister and brother. And it was in the West. We were wearing black clothes. And all these people would walk by and would shake our hand and would say, condolences, 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 you know, with your father. And then my mother died 2 months later, and we were standing there in the same hall, in the same cemetery, and all the same people came again and shook our hand, and they said, condolences, condolences. And it was like, I've been in this movie before. It was surrealistic to go through the same experience twice in a very short time. But this is the nature of time. Inevitable time will strike. We will be going through these things. And then how will you chant? Then how will we be able to take shelter in the middle of distress? Then will we be able to chant attentive rounds? You know, it was a terrible accident. Oh, terrible. He got squashed. I had to go to the police station to identify the body. I could not, because the top of his head was destroyed. In this case, all it was a devotee who lived in the ashram. I was the temple president. He jumped in front of the train. A moment of depression. He did it. You couldn't recognize him by his face because there was no more face. The jaw was there, but that was unclear in this condition. A foot was also lost, but the shoulder bag, we remembered the shoulder bag. He always used to wear it. We said, yes, it is him. But what if I would have been his mother? Would I have been able to chant my rounds? Would it have been possible? Not today. Maybe his mother would have said that day, today? Forget it. Don't even talk to me about this. Just leave me alone. Therefore, we have to practice now, so that on that day, in whatever form it comes, still we can take shelter. Still we can take shelter. By regular practice, we'll get the strength. Because in the inevitable course of time, different calamities will come. I don't know in what form they will come. But I can tell you, over the years, I've witnessed so many calamities. Some in my own family that emotionally affected me, or some of dear friends that touched my heart, some of strangers that I could look at from a more neutral point of view, shocked by the horror of the event, but not so deeply affected. Some sense of compassion, but not feeling so much distress myself. But we must be simply now that everything is calm and peaceful, now we should build up the strength. Now we should practice very nicely, so that we are ready to deal when the time of calamities, to deal when we ourselves are ill, when we have a fever. Have you ever tried to chant 16 rounds when malaria is raging? And it takes takes 1 hour to chant one round. Have you tried? And when you lose your beats in the bed somewhere and you can't find them anymore in the ocean of that bed, and you ask someone, please find my beats. The beats, give them back. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. All these times will come. And all this is actually helping us, right? So that at the time of death, we will be ready. Ready to focus on Krishna. So therefore, Our determination is based on knowledge, is based on practice, is based on understanding Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam prepares us for life, for sukh and dukkh, for happiness and distress. And then it will give us the real determination, the determination of the Brahmana, the determination based on knowledge, which gets stronger and stronger over the years. And that's the only thing that can save us from fall down. Because otherwise, if we just try to practice our spiritual life on some decision, I will do it, then there will be some moments of failure in spiritual life. Okay, with this I'll end. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. The question I had in mind was that you talked about determination based on knowledge, and we also say that we have to develop vyavasaya atmika buddhi in spiritual life. So are these two related or are these two different? Because without vyavasaya atmika buddhi, we are told that spiritual life is very, very difficult. So how do we understand these two things?
Yes, we must begin to develop spiritual intelligence. And the very basis of our spiritual life is to understand that we are not this material body, but that we are eternal spirit soul, and that as a spirit soul, we are the eternal servant of Krishna. And that is the beginning. But then, when we are accepting that we are the eternal servant of Krishna, then we spend the rest of our life learning how to become a better servant of Krishna. Because it's so difficult to be a servant. To really be a servant, is such a difficult thing. It takes us a whole lifetime. And even at the end of our life, we look back and we think, I didn't do a very good job, actually. What to do now? But my Lord is very kind, so I hope that still He somehow accepts me. So in this way, when I spoke about the determination of knowledge, I spoke that first of all, there is the need to know that we are eternal spirit soul, that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. And then how? Then more knowledge of how to serve Krishna better. That is the cultivation of knowledge, which is required. And that comes from serving the servants, serving the experts. Like in anything, if you want to learn some art very well, you learn from the experts. So in this way, we serve the servants, right? And then we can learn to become a servant.
Hare Krishna.
He has the
Maharaj, you said that the determination of a Brahmana is based on of a Kshatriya is based on a decision that I will follow the principles. But how is it different from the decision determination made by a Brahmana? Because even he has to make the determination on the basis of,
There is a difference. That the point is that a Kshatriya's mood may not be in full knowledge. He may not see all the intricacies of the knowledge. He may see, yes, it is good to follow these principles. But he may not as much in detail understand the benefits as the Brahmana does. The Brahmana takes the time to very deeply penetrate in understanding the benefits from following a certain path. And therefore, because he acts deeply in deep knowledge, in detailed knowledge, and very deep detailed knowledge, therefore he sees 100 arguments, to support this particular decision or direction. Whereas the Kshatriya is more quick, is more passionate, doesn't spend so much time in penetrating into all this knowledge. He understands, yes, of course, this principle is beneficial. So, it must be followed. So, I will do it. Puts the jaw forward. I will do it. But in his heart, it may be difficult. In his heart, he may feel, with all his austerity, actually some weakness, because it's all austerity. Whereas in the Brahmana, it is less austere, because actually understand, this is the best. There's no alternative. There's 1,008 reasons why this is the best. I couldn't do anything else. So he deeply understands. So it's the depth of understanding that is the difference. Yep.
Maharaj, we are talking about Bharat Maharaj. And we could see it over here that Bharat Maharaj was in such a high standard of spiritual life.
Yeah.
And just an attachment with a deer, yeah, and whole spiritual life was completely spoiled out. So what I mean to ask you, Maharaj, is that we people have just come into Krishna consciousness. What is our chance? And so, in that circumstances, we have to fag on of our Krishna consciousness till the last breath of our life. And little bit negligence in Krishna consciousness means we are out altogether.
I agree. We should give up.
If we give up, then there is no hope, because in material world also there is misery.
There is no hope. Yes. If Bharat Maharaj couldn't do it, then we will never do it. There is no hope. Isn't it?
No, what I'm saying is, Maharaj...
Or is there maybe a little hope? What do you think?
No, what I'm asking, Maharaj,
I'm asking also. I'm asking you first.
Yes, Maharaj.
Do you think that there is a little hope?
Absolutely, that's why we are in Krishna
consciousness. What is our hope?
Our hope is to just hang on with Krishna consciousness.
What do we have that Bharat Maharaj did not have? Now let him say it. He has the mic. I'm sure he'll come. Okay, let me just make it a little broader. What do we have that Bharat Maharaj did not have? What do we have? The next canto starts the narration of Ajamil. What do we have that Ajamil did not have, who was a qualified Brahmana, and upon seeing a young man embracing some girl, he fell down. Here in Bombay, you have to see that every day.
Yes, correct. No, we had the association of devotees with Bharat Maharaj, and Ajamil didn't have it.
No! We have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Katanchana smrite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet. That by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, difficult things become easy. He makes difficult things easy. So therefore, although we have no qualification, Lord Chaitanya, he's helping us all the way. Then we can do it. Even although we are much less qualified than great personalities like Bharat Maharaj or, you know, such a qualified Brahmana student like Ajamil. We are less qualified, but we have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he protects us and he helps us. And therefore, if we just take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, it will be done. And even a little bit of endeavor in this direction, so much success will be there. Just we chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Why are we chanting this Panchatattva Mahamantra before the chanting of the holy name?
Why?
To get the mercy of the Lord.
No. Wrong answer. Why? Wrong answer. Wrong answer. It says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita directly, I want the answer of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes. Huh? Wrong answer. Grateful, wrong, offenses, wrong. Can serve Radha and Krishna, wrong answer. Okay. Anyone else? It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that before the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we chant this Panchatattva Mantra. And it said if we do so, we immediately become ecstatic. And because we become ecstatic, right, we are safeguarded from the offenses. Yeah? But this ecstasy is a very important element. Right? So just by serving Lord Chaitanya, he will give us ecstasy very quick. And you know it. You know it very well. When you have ecstasy, you have wings. When you have ecstasy, when you are happy, you can fly. Right? But I thought you were sick. No, it's okay. It's nothing, you know. But, you know, you were totally knocked out and you were not well yesterday. No, no, it's all right, you know. Like, you know, it's Rati Yatra today. I'm okay. I feel fine. No, but you were sick. No, no, it's not. It was just a little cold. Because if we are on the strength of happiness, if something makes us happy, don't look like that. If something makes us happy, we can do miracles. We can do the impossible. We can overcome any hurdle and any obstacle. Therefore, by this ecstasy, by this special taste that Lord Chaitanya gives us, we can somehow or other do the impossible. And the lame man climbs the mountain, and the dumb man is reciting eloquent poetry on the strength of this ecstasy.
I understand that this ecstasy, we have to achieve it.
No, you already got it. Not have to achieve it. You got it yesterday. But you forgot. All you have to do is remember it. Sometimes, right, I'm not speaking about you, but I'm giving an example about devotees in general. Sometimes we come in the temple, and it is just like eating a big feast, right? Imagine they're serving out a big feast and we're sitting in rows on the floor in front of our plates and they're serving it out. And the feast is really nice. First class. All the preparations are good. But the service is very bad. And in our row, they're not bringing all the preparations. So we have rice. Very nice rice. First class basmati. But no dal. So that we're eating the rice. Hey, dal. We didn't get any dal. This whole row, no dal, you know. So we eat that rice, right? We're not tasting because we're calling dal. Then they don't bring the puris. Puri. So we're eating rice and dal, we're not tasting puri. Okay? Then, you know, gulab jamun, and then the cake. We want cake. We're not tasting the gulab jamun. So, you eat the whole meal, but you have not tasted a single bite. Because you're always thinking of the preparation you're missing and the next thing. Right? So, in the same way, sometimes we can be standing in front of the deities and we don't even see what color outfit they're wearing. The curtain's just closed. What color was it? I want to ask. Govindam Adipurusham. What will be for breakfast today? Yeah? In other words, we don't apply ourselves. You understand? So, we get all the juice, we get all the ecstasy, and we don't see it. So sometimes we have to sit down and just remember all the ecstasy we already got. How much nectar did I get, actually? Since I became involved in this Krishna consciousness, one didn't think, how much nectar did I get? So, if you add it up, so much, say, wow, you become totally ecstatic. So, the point is, count your blessings. Count your blessings. There are so many. That will give us strength. So our movement, the taste is already there. The taste is there. We're just missing it because we don't apply ourselves. We don't apply our mind. It's the best I can do. Usually when I start talking about breakfast, it means it is also getting time for that. So maybe I should wind it up unless someone is very eager. No. Mataji. Okay. Oh, there is also a gentleman way in the back. Is it? I cannot surely see who it is, but could be Mahaprabhu. Very far away. In that case, there's some people who are not hungry.
Prabhuji, you said just now how to apply that mind.
How to apply the mind is the next question. Huh? I guess at least try to be attentive. Just like in the chanting of the holy name, we are many times hearing about inattentive chanting. So while chanting, we try to concentrate our mind on chanting. And in the same way, we must be attentive in our other devotional practices. When it's time for Guru Puja, we should get into it. We should not just stand there like a wallflower or some other variety. Not just be there, but then we should apply ourselves. And by doing so, and especially by applying ourselves in our rounds, gradually we'll deepen the level of being able to enter into these activities. Of course, in the beginning, our ability to be involved in our service is limited. But if we make the endeavor, it will increase with time, and will become deeper and deeper in our service. So it begins with attentive chanting and an attentiveness in devotional service in general.
As you said, in the beginning, even after 27 years, I feel it is beginning only.
This is what you get. See, for the first few years, you think, I'm making a lot of advancement very rapidly. You feel you're flying forward with big jumps. Then comes a long time that you actually start feeling, I don't make so much advancement, but still, you know, I am an experienced devotee. But then after 27 years, you come to the point where one day you wake up and you think, actually, I'm just beginning. And that is right. Then we can really begin. Right? It is at that stage where we, after 27 years, feel, I'm just beginning, that we can really begin to get very serious about our spiritual life. It goes like that. So I also feel, after 27 years, that I'm just beginning. Same thing.
We have so much within our stock, but we don't know how to use it. And we are trying to accumulate more and more and more, whether it is lectures,
yes,
or association or books. So much is there, yes, but it's, yes, so confused.
Correct.
Yeah.
I have a computer, and on this computer I have gigabytes of lectures. I can never listen to it. Even if I try. So many. And rather than just appreciating the few
basic instructions that I have received and appreciate them as great treasures. So therefore we should try again. Therefore in our spiritual life, there are two things. One is called Nitya Kriya, and the other one is called Naimitika Kriya. This is part of Bhajana Kriya, the regulated practices of a devotee. Nitya Kriya means the everyday routine practices, the duties of every day. And Naimitika Kriya means the special occasions, such as Ekadasi, Jamastami, and these kind of days. So the purpose of Naimitika Kriya, of these special days, is to make a special endeavor. And it's like, on Jamastami, I'm going to do it. Chant 108 rounds, right? Somehow or other, I'm going to do it. Right? Or I'm going to cook for the deity 75 preps. Or I'm going to, on this Gita Jayanti, I'm going to chant the whole Gita from beginning to end. Right? Things like that. A special endeavor. So this is Naimitika Kriya. This Naimitika Kriya gives new life to our Nitya Kriya. Or these special endeavors on special occasion give new life to our everyday spiritual practices. So we must also begin to take advantage of special endeavors. Kartik Vrats, right? Special. And the whole year is full of such occasions. So in this way we can renew our everyday practice, it is stated. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There was another gentleman nearby who also raised his hand. No? Then we are nearing. No, there is one. The Mataji is smiling very enthusiastically. Oh, but there is another Mataji who's stealing the microphone first. She's also smiling in competition.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
You said that in times of difficulty, if one practices throughout one's life, then in times of difficulty, we will remember Krishna.
Yes.
But then we see so many times that in the lives of devotees, sometimes they go into a coma.
Okay.
And they are unable to do their 16 rounds. And what if they pass away in the coma? Then
if they are in such a condition,
yes,
of coma that they cannot remember Krishna.
Or even an accident.
Then Krishna will remember them. If we our whole life try to remember Krishna, then at the end Krishna will remember us. And ultimately we depend on Him. It is Krishna who delivers us from this world. He takes us back to Godhead. It's not that we are going back to Godhead, actually. Actually, we say to go back to Godhead, but in reality Krishna is taking us back. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. First of all, I must thank you for the nectarian lecture. My soul is really soaked. Thank you so much. This question is not related to determination or anything, because you are so kind to offer me an opportunity to ask. There is one small question which bewilders me all the time. They say there are three gunas, rajogun, satogun, tamogun, goodness, passion and ignorance. I understand they are the energies of the nature. This I have heard in one of the lectures. These are they, and we also have these gunas inside us.
Yes.
So how do they interact? Suppose I have lot of rajogun and I live in the company of satogun.
Yeah.
So how will my rajogun will interact with satogun?
Very good. Yes, this is very true. We can take the example of a pond with a beautiful swan as the symbol of satvagun, isn't it? And we can look at different people. When a person in the mode of goodness comes there, he feels, oh, such a nice spiritual place, right? Such a favorable place, so peaceful for nice spiritual activities. A person in the mode of passion will come there, such a nice place for sense enjoyment. Yeah? A person in the mode of ignorance may come there and may say, look at this stupid swan, let me throw a stone at him and see if he can fly. Huh? So, in this way, according to the affliction of the mode of material nature, a person may react to the external circumstances. Still, the influence of the external circumstances influence our internal state. So if we are internally in passion and ignorance, by being in a surrounding of goodness, gradually we are influenced by that goodness and develop some goodness. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada is explaining in one purport we have heard many times that if you drink milk, that it will create finer brain tissue. Have you heard that? If you drink milk, it will give you finer brain tissue. So Prabhupada explains that if you go to beautiful places, beautiful gardens, nice lakes with cranes and other nice birds and so on, that this also helps to create finer brain tissue. And such finer brain tissue is very favorable for understanding spiritual knowledge. So even places in the mode of goodness help for the finer brain tissue. So it's important that we at home create an atmosphere of goodness as much as we can. That will help us to come to spiritual life. You're satisfied with the answer?
But if you have to live in an atmosphere of utter ignorance in your house...
What to do? Trinadapi sunichena... Tarorapi sahisnuna amanina manandina kirtaniya sadahari. You have to chant all the time and be more tolerant than a tree. So if you chant, then internally you create such a transcendental atmosphere and consciousness that you're able to tolerate. And Krishna will protect us. So in this age of Kali, it is a little bit like that, isn't it? Because we have to live in the city of Bombay in the age of Kali, and there is so much ignorance and passion outside. Yeah. So somehow or other we have to take shelter of that chanting Hare Krishna. So there was one lady, she once went to a Bhagavatam class. And when she came to the class, even in the during the class she was chanting. At least you could see her mouth moving. So the speaker was complaining, what is it you are chanting? How are you chanting? How can you chant when there is a class? How can you listen like this? She said, no, I can listen very nicely. It's just my tongue is accustomed to chanting. It always chants. It never stops. It never stops. Old lady, tongue never stopped. So she is our example. Huh? She is our role model. We're looking at this elderly lady whose tongue was always chanting. And I pray that in my old age, my tongue will also be always chanting. So, abhyasa yoga yuktena cita sananya gamina. By practice, by abhyas, by practice, it can be done.
Maharaj, you have given me a beautiful remedy, but you have to help me. Now you bless me with your mercy so that I could do that.
May Lord Krishna, may Lord Chaitanya, make your tongue always chant. Right? Yes. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All the devotees of the Chopati Yatra ki jai.